And I have with me on the phone Rabbi Galperin.
Good morning, Ilan.
Good morning. How are you?
Thank God, Baruch Hashem. And how are you?
Not too bad. I hear you loud and clear.
Wonderful. I hear you loud and clear, too. Yes. You know, in this time of uncertainty in the world and this types of things, it's good to be heard as loud and clear as possible, sharing the light of right and sharing the light of Torah. So it's a beautiful thing.
Yeah, and if we're talking about lights, last week it was a recorded show because I couldn't make it.
Right.
But there was a lot of light this Kislev.
There was. You know, we started off with the menorah lighting at the mall, which was, thank God, a huge success. We made a menorah from rice, beans, and pasta. With that, there were a lot of people. Went through over 500 latkes with donuts.
Whoa.
And you know, all the food was donated to the Unemployment Help Center of Windsor. And I asked them, because I was curious myself, I said, please let me know how much everything weighed, a total. And they got back to me, and my mind was blown. I was like, wow, this is phenomenal how the community came together and made a difference in people's lives. We raised over 1,200 pounds of food, which was amazing.
Wow, that's a lot.
So, yeah, that was beyond my expectations. So that obviously helped, a beautiful thing. And then we had a Hanukkah menorah lighting for seniors on that Wednesday evening. We had about 30 seniors that came down. They played dreidel. We sang old Yiddish songs.
That's great.
So that was nice. And then I know the Beth El had a Hanukkah party on Friday evening, I believe.
Everybody brought his
menorah. I spoke to Rabbi Albert, so he told me that it was beautiful. And Sunday there was a Hanukkah party at the JCC. So many different parties in Windsor. Was a very, very lightful
event.
So it was beautiful.
So we didn't do the parsha for a long time.
Right. So this week's parsha is probably one of the most dramatic stories in all of Torah, which is the parsha Vayigash. And we see that in this week's Torah portion, Judah approaches Joseph, who is now the person in charge of Egypt, to plead for the release of Benjamin, and even offers himself as a slave instead of Benjamin. And upon witnessing his brother's loyalty to one another, Joseph reveals his identity, and he tells him, I am Joseph. Is my father still alive? Ani Yosef, od avichai.
Od avichai.
You sold me, you treated me like garbage, and I'm here. And the brothers, overcome by shame and remorse, and Joseph comforts them. And he says, it's not you who sent me here, but God. Everything was set up from a God in order to save everyone, to save us, the entire region, from a famine. And we see that the brothers rush back to Canaan with the news. Jacob comes to Egypt with his sons and his family. I think there were 70 in total. He reunites with his beloved son after 22 years. And we see that Joseph gathers the wealth of Egypt, you know, by selling the food, and he gives his family a great piece of land in Goshen to settle, and the Jews prosper. And we see that this is a phenomenal story of forgiveness, a phenomenal story of drama. It's like it's phenomenal. And one of the things that we see, it says, and he, Joseph, fell on his brother, in other words, Binyamin's neck, because this was truly his brother, and they cried on his neck. And if we see, you know, it tells, the Torah says in great details about the dramatic reunion of his brothers, and it says that he physically embraced all his brothers. Joseph physically embraced all his brothers. But when he holds his brother Benjamin in his arm, they weep. And so maybe we could say that the reason for this extra emotion with Benjamin versus everyone else, that Benjamin was Joseph's only brother from the same mother, and that Benjamin was the only one who was not involved in the plot to sell Joseph. But tradition really explains something a little bit deeper by the fact of what they were weeping. Joseph mourned prophetically over the Holy Temple in Jerusalem, which would one day be built in the land apportioned to the tribe of Benjamin. And while Benjamin cried over the sanctuary that was going to be in Shiloh, which he foresaw would stand in the territory that was given to the tribe of Joseph. And since both of the houses are going to be destroyed, each brother wept for the other lot, for the other person's lot. Now, if you think about it, that makes no sense. It's really a big question. Why did each one cry over the other's future calamity? They both faced similar fate. Why then did they both not cry for themselves? Why were they worried about the other person? Why were they crying for themselves? And I think the answer lies in the world of difference between how we must regard our own disasters as opposed to that of our fellow person. You know, when we see someone else's, you know, facing self-destruction.
Tourists,
yeah, we can offer love, encouragement, support. So they might have more strength to see themselves out of their mess. But ultimately, we cannot solve their problem. It is the individual who holds the key to finding his or her own solution to that problem. So when we have truly done everything we can reasonably to do, and disaster is still looming, the only thing left to do is to cry. Not with tears of anger or frustration, but tears of genuine sympathy and compassion. We don't, you know, condemn that person. We don't judge. But also, we're not also on a higher level that we don't have that feeling. We simply admit that, you know, the final outcome is not up to us. We pray and we release with love. And we cry because there's nothing else left to do. We've done all we can. So now when it comes to our personal destruction, we dare not tearfully, you know, make ourselves upset and depressed. There's no time for weeping. We must act, for we have no right to give up hope and take and give off the responsibility that we have. Now, if you think about it, at risk of oversimplification of our issues, it may be said that our disease of addiction is nothing more than a gross aspect of human nature. If as human beings we tend to be relentless in our hopes to change others while easily despairing in the face of our own, then we have problems. When it comes to others, we are masters of manipulation, you know, where we can get into big, complicated relationships, and we can try and help the other people. But when dealing with ourselves, we're quick to give up. Bemoaning, why do I have to have this destiny? You know, I was listening to something, to a talk once, and as we're talking about the parasha, it just come to my mind that there was a lady that was talking about she, you know, she went through cancer and so on. And she says she never asked, why me? Why do I get this issue? Because she doesn't have the answer. She never asked, why me? She said, thank God, not the other person.
Yeah.
So we have problems dealing with, you know, ourselves. We give up. When it comes to someone else, we're there to everything. We're willing to do everything for someone else, but when it comes to our family, we try and shine. We run away. We generalize, you know, what's good for us, what's not good for us. And our recovery means that we need to, the same way that we are treating other people, and we give everything to other people, we have to give to ourselves. We have learned to be gracefully compassionate towards others while being, you know, so demanding on ourselves. And this is what they were teaching us. That we're going to cry for each other. But when we cry for each other, what are we going to do also for ourselves? Are we going to cry for ourselves and not give up? And that's if we look about this. Yo, Joseph, 22 years in hell. When he saw his brothers, he forgave them. He told them, it's not your fault. This is the reason why God has given me this. There's a reason why God has put this terrible thing in my life. But I have the opportunity and I have the capability of overcoming it. And that's what this week's Torah portion is teaching us. This phenomenal lesson. So when we're in the trouble, when we're in problem, don't give up. Don't say, well, why me? Why do I have to deal with this? I have nothing. I've done all that I can. I've no interest in doing anything. Well, if you feel that we've done all we can to be able to help our issues, then the only thing we have left is not in our hands, up to God. The only thing we have left is to cry. But it should be tears, not of despair. Tears of joy. Tears that I've done what I can. God, it's up to you. I'm leaving it up to you.
Tears
I think
of
that's
hope.
A very, very hope. Correct. I think that's a very, very important lesson in this week's Torah portion.
That's nice. And Rabbi, tell us about services.
Services. We have services every Friday evening. Now is at 5 o'clock. Shabbat mornings at 9:30, and we have Sunday morning at 8:15. Followed by breakfast, and Monday and Thursday, that's all at the Shaar HaShemayim in the chapel. Then we have Monday and Thursday in the JCC in the Parrot House. 7:15 is a minyan in the morning. Thank God we've been having wonderful minyans. We get 12, 14, 15 people on a regular Monday and Thursday. It's a wonderful day to start the day. So I encourage everyone to join.
Rabbi, I want to thank you and to wish you a calm and nice weekend.
You too.
And Shabbat Shalom.
Shabbat Shalom.
And God willing, we'll talk next week.
Yes.
Thank you again.
Okay.
Bye-bye.